Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. And how about you?
I'm doing great in this fabulous moon day. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the aparigraha, the yama, to abstain from greed, freedom from hoarding or collecting. We will discuss the deeper dynamics of greed and how it originates from this innate drive that we want to be a whole person. Swami will explain the importance of brahmacharya, the yama, to abstain from sensuality. Listen as Swami gives us a clear understanding between needs and wants, and why it is essential in the process to become a whole person and liberated from greed. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and get the benefit of internal support to become a whole person. Be powered by prana. So, Swami, let's talk about that aparigraha. When you're saying it's the yama to abstain from greed, freedom from hoarding or collecting, there's actually TV shows on that actually showcase different hoarders in this country. And I guess it's pretty amazing. These people just have like boxes and boxes and boxes of just like stuff that they just don't need, whether it's paper goods or they just have this overwhelming desire and compulsion to get stuff. What is that all about? Where does that come from?
Yeah. If you really start to unpack it, you realize that it all comes from this constant need for validation. It comes from our physical bodies. It comes from the patterning of our physical bodies. That our bodies, the body is the sustaining force of the universe, basically. And so it's all about preservation and survival. And our physical bodies live in chronic anxiety, and they're constantly seeking validation. And one of the reasons why, and I think it's really important here to make a really clear distinction between what I call secular and spiritual, because it really comes down to what energy field do I draw from? Because if you draw from anything that is dualistic, this validation, this seeking of validation, deteriorates into insatiable craving. The only way that it really works, and the only way that it is designed to work, is to join with this thing called spirit, this indivisible unified field. And then, of course, matter and mind come together with new information. In the same way we talk about, if you have a combustion engine and you put water in it, then the combustion engine doesn't do what it's intended to do. It doesn't start up. But if you put gasoline in that combustion engine, then, of course, now the engine does what it is that you want it to do. And the same is true with this human mind-body complex, that the nature of greed really originates from this longing for need, this longing that I want to know that I'm going to be okay. And everything is going to be dependent upon what energy field we draw from.
Well, I'm curious, is how do we instill that that lesson to, you know, young children, especially this time of the year when they go see Santa and they sit on his lap and, you know, tell him what they want for Christmas. And, of course, when you're a child, it's definitely a want. It's not a need. How do you explain all that? I mean, I would imagine we have to start early on and teach our children what it is that they should desire.
Well, I think it starts with teaching a child the difference between a need and a want. And then, of course, being able to establish your needs in their order of importance, because this whole concept of putting God first, and I know that that might not be a politically correct statement today using such a term, but if you don't understand what this concept, what this word referred to, then of course the whole thing falls apart. If you think apple juice is gasoline, is more the way that it works. If you understand that this concept of God isn't a person, but it is the force right now that is supporting your life, that it is your number one need, it is the most important thing that you need to sustain your life, then you've got a better chance of connecting to it than if you think it has, you know, the characteristics of some supernatural human being.
I'm interested in asking you about the terms hoarding and greed. Now, should we think about hoarding the life force? Because hoarding to me is something that once you acquire it, you don't want to let it go. And you can't stop acquiring it, but you also can't throw things away either. Where greed to me is kind of like, you know, gimme, 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 I must have this, I must have more of this, more of this, more of this. But would it be similar to say, like you always say, let's prey on prana? Would it be correct to say that it's okay to hoard in the life force?
Well, to answer your question, that's the secret to life. You know, that what we actually want to do is become addicted to this life force. You want to desire this life force. You want to, Jesus said it in a different way, you want to love God. And of course, you're drawing from something that is inexhaustible. See, when you break down the universe, the tangible parts of the universe are the small parts. The invisible, intangible parts of the universe are the big parts. So when you make this conversion, you're actually drawing from something that gives you a different return, that you're drawing from something that is not, does not have the limitation of duality. And so as a result, and one of the things that actually happens is that there's a whole change of exchange of energy that you have with your environment. Because most of us are attached to things visible and tangible or invisible and tangible. And so we're actually competing for energy on these limited levels. And one of the things you notice is the minute you get whatever it is that you think you want, then you're going to want more. It's the potato chip thing, you know. And the minute you have one, you can have another. And the minute you have another, you can have another. Or whatever it is that you're using to validate yourself becomes this insatiable craving. Whereas if you figure out that our bodies are searching for something, but what we really want is we want to be whole people. We want to grow psychologically and spiritually. We want to return to this unified state. And the only way to do it is to connect to this other source of sustenance and literally rebirth your body in it. Change the reward circuits in your brain. Change the neurological pathways so that you now desire this void or this nothing, so that you literally love God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. That produces a completely different entity. That changes who we are. That's the physics of spirituality. There is an evidence procedure to this thing called apotheosis.
Well, I think that's a very scary concept for a lot of people, to not have their hands on something that is tangible, something that they can't touch. And I think that frightens a lot of people, you know, in saying that that's going to change them, you know, because some people don't want to change, even though we know the only thing constant is change. And I think that's a very scary thought for some people.
Well, you got to realize that that's all we know. We come in and we draw from duality, which is fear and limitation. And that's the physics of spirituality. That's the like attracts like. And it was the responsibility of our religions originally to educate us in how to separate from our attachment to this limited source of sustenance and reconnect to something that would expand our sense of self beyond the limits of seeing ourselves as separate. And sure, there's a lot of resistance to it. But if you understand what it is that you're trying to do and you have good leadership, and that's one of the things, even say, for example, like we talk about brahmacharya, probably the most misunderstood concept in yoga. People think it's being celibate. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to stop doing anything that was associated with preservation and survival, but it becomes a Herculean task to the point where you kind of throw your hands up because you can't stop doing something. You can't get rid of desire. But if you understand the term, brahmacharya means carrier of Brahman, now you're not trying to give up something, you're actually trying to attach to something else. That's doable. That's relatively simple to do if you've got good leadership and a clear understanding of what it is that you're trying to do.
So I think we need to understand that it's okay to want certain things, like you might want to have a better job or a car that's more reliable, or these are some of the material things that we need to in order to survive, like you were saying. But in essence, if we don't have this connection, what you're saying, then really everything else is a moot point?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everything else, there's only one true God. There's only one number one need. And if it's not in its position of importance, then you're dealing with a failure force on some level.
Interesting. Okay, I think we're gonna hold that thought for just a moment to pause and hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners will be back in a few moments, and I'll also open up the phone lines if you have any questions for Swami. You can answer them when we come back. We'll be with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos, a cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it.
Kriya Yoga Mantra and Meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Purna Maria, Purna Meva Vashishate.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this time, I'd like to open up the phone lines. If you have a question for Swami, you can ask it at this time. Okay, so actually I have a question for you. You talked about being a carrier of Brahman, and then you also talked earlier about this procedure and a process. So obviously we would have to get all of our yamas in line for the process and the procedure. How do you know when you become a carrier of Brahman?
Well, basically, when you try and figure it all out, there are four major obstructions to enlightenment: fear, ignorance, laziness, and selfishness. And so each of the yamas really target one of those particular obstructions. But brahmacharya is the one yama that is the antidote for all of them. Because with the connection comes contentment, comes confidence, but prana brings virtue to overcome fear. It brings wisdom to overcome ignorance. It brings purpose to overcome selfishness. And it brings enthusiasm to overcome laziness. So with this connection, so much starts to happen. You know, first of all, you have the benefit of internal support, and your identity starts to expand beyond the limits of seeing yourself as separate. So you now feel like you're in tandem with something that's bigger than yourself, something that's pure, powerful, and sacred. And with that comes all of these benefits. But most of us think that being spiritual means that you are going to have all of these supernatural powers, which really isn't a good indicator. That the whole thing is that it starts with contentment. You know, that I'm happy because I have what I need. That is, I think, that is the platform that the whole thing begins with. Knowing the difference between the need and the want. Being able to ask for what you want and not having to respond as if you're going to die if you don't get what you want is really where it starts to reveal itself. That I'm having a great day because the universe loves me. I'm having a great day because I'm in tandem with something that is never going to let me down. There's confidence that comes with that. Then, of course, the physics starts to take over because being spiritual doesn't mean that you're abstaining from the secular. It means you're indulging in the spiritual. It's a very different dynamic. Do you understand the difference?
I believe I do. That was a really good explanation. And you reminded me of a conversation I had with a gentleman at work. It was a customer. He had come in and he was explaining to me about this business that he's getting into. And this gentleman was in his late 50s. He's been a businessman all his life. And it just came to him one day that he remembered what it was that he wanted to do when he was like 16 years old, and that was to, you know, help out the environment and do things like this. So he actually sold off all of his businesses, and he really felt that this was his purpose. And ever since he made that decision, he says everything else in his life all fell into place. And then he started, just out of the blue, he started meditating in the morning, he changed his diet. All these things changed once he developed his sense of purpose, and that's how he knew that he was doing the right thing. So is that kind of like what we're saying, that once you have this connection, that everything else in your life, all your other departments, will change for the better?
Well, to answer your question, I think they can. It might not necessarily be the significator. Mm-hmm. You could actually be struggling and still, I think, be connected to the life force. You could be just feel like you know what you're doing is more difficult. I mean, it's so going to be so individual that it would be really hard to pinpoint and say, like, you're connected to spirit, you're connected to spirit, you're connected mm-hmm. to spirit. I think, like I say, I mean, we're kind of groping, because, like I say, you're using something that's invisible and intangible, and a lot of times, the things that we use to produce the feelings that we're okay are the visible and tangible parts of our lives. And so if my business is doing well, might not necessarily be the indicator that I'm connected. It's like this whole thing of most people in the spiritual community today really focus on this concept of gratitude. You know, to be grateful for all of the things that we're getting mm-hmm. is not an indicator that you are connected to the life force, if that helps.
And that's a really good point. And we talked about in the summary that to liberate ourselves from greed, although we do need, you know, a certain amount of resources to be able to survive, but it's to channel our energies differently and not necessarily focus on greed or what I want to have, but it's what I need to have.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing here is that once your whole sense of self is totally established in what you need and you find the joy in your life because what you need is really important to you, mm-hmm. that I think is the starting point of your development.
So this comes down to really learning what the process and the procedure is, learning what the yamas are, the niyamas and the obstructions, and then trying from there build your platform to help you on that ladder to become a whole person.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that it's not drudgery.
No.
You know, when you make the conversion and all of a sudden now air is your party, air is your beloved, air is your new drug of choice, it's a very different dynamic. It's the concept of renouncing the world then isn't a struggle. It's what comes natural. And it's like we said, you know, with this connection comes things like virtue, wisdom, enthusiasm, you know, and this sense of purpose. Very hard thing to figure out is, you know, who am I and why did I incarnate? And with this broader sense of awareness comes this collective purpose. And that might not necessarily be something that is altruistic.
You do make it sound so simple, and yet, like you said earlier, it is something that most of us do struggle with.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially one of the things I think is so sad is how we start to age in this society. We're so bound up in our bodies that everything is measured by our appearance, how we look, what we have. And, you know, in earlier times, even though the elders were physiologically deteriorating, you know, hopefully psychologically, spiritually, their vision was so broad and so fertile with universal knowledge, they called it wisdom. And the young revered the elders. Whereas in this society, you go and you speak to the elders and they're talking about their economic status. They're talking about the ailments in their physical body. And their consciousness has never transcended the limits of body awareness. And that's where what we teach, I think, is so valuable, because it's all about expanding your identity beyond the limits of your body. It's all about growing psychologically and spiritually and becoming this whole person that we all want to be.
I don't think I could have said that any better. That was awesome. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were talking about, you know, I just want to live like an animal. You know, animals, they sleep all day, and the only time that they get up really is when they need to go forage for food. And he was saying that part of our problems as humans now is that we have so much distractions that, you know, we forget something just as simple as eating. You know, we've made our food so complicated, we've made work complicated, our communications are complicated. And he says, you know, people forget what it was like 100 years ago. You know, 200 years ago, and we survived just fine without all of these things. I just thought that was an interesting concept that he was saying.
Yeah, the whole thing of simplifying your life and peeling it down to what's really important to you. Mm-hmm. But I think with that, we might have to start to close this show, and I'll give it back to you.
Well, in closing, I'd like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, too. Also available are the online classes you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Just click on the link to the online classes. It will direct you to PowHow. From there, you can make your selections. But do keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We will be discussing, I believe, the winter solstice. Any final thoughts, Swami, before we end our show?
Well, I think it would be a good thing for everybody to focus more and more on what you need, mm-hmm, and start using what you need kind of like as a symbol to produce the feeling that you're happy, you're special, that you're good enough. And I think that will curb a lot of our greeds and neutralize the forces that are driving those greeds, because the more you understand about how it's working, the easier it is to disarm the whole thing and move forward with your life. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.